In this half of our state capitol report, we'll talk with the author of a bill that would place new standards on public schools, charter schools, and voucher schools. And we will get reaction from the head of a private school choice advocate who says that this plan gives too much power to the Department of Public Instruction. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, August 19th. We will welcome your questions for both of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. First, we'll talk about the legislation, what it would do and why it's needed with Republican State Representative Luther Olson from Ripon. I'm sorry, he is a state senator. My mistake. He is the chair of the Senate Education Committee and the author of this school accountability bill. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
I knew you were a senator. It just came out of my mouth that you're a rep.
You know, that happens to me every once in a while. I've even said that myself.
Yeah, well, good. I'm glad I'm not alone. Listen, this is a pretty big bill. Let's start with the public schools. What changes would be made to the public school report card under this legislation?
Well, the big thing, it really changes for every school, public schools, charter schools, and choice schools. And what it does is says we're going to measure schools' performance on five issues. Pupil achievement in reading and math, pupil growth in reading and math. In other words, saying how well are students doing in your school from when they started the year to where they ended the year, and we're going to use the value-added methodology for that. We're going to look at college and career readiness for high school students and being on track for college and career readiness for elementary students. Another big part of it is closing the achievement gap and graduation rates, looking at kids that live in poverty versus ones that don't, students of color versus other students, and then student pupil engagement in school. So we're looking at five different areas, not just tests, but five different areas to see how well students are doing in a school and in a school district.
Mm-hmm. And so will the voucher schools be held to the exact same standards as the public schools?
Yes, they will. Because they're receiving state money, you know, we want them to have students make a certain achievement. But most important, the thing that's really, really new about this is we look at student growth because, for instance, in the voucher schools, a lot of kids, and even in certain charter schools, a lot of kids come to those schools 2 or 3 years behind the grade level. Well, it's very difficult for them to get them up to grade level within 1 year, but if they can show that they are having significant growth in student performance, we need to acknowledge that and reward that. We have right now some charter schools in the state that are doing the same, thing like that and get the lowest rating on the report card because we don't have what I believe is a complete report card that looks at all the issues.
And your bill contains penalties for schools that perform poorly. What are the penalties and how is poorly defined?
Well, there's five categories that we have in here. The top one is significantly exceeds expectations, meets few expectations, and the last one fails to meet expectations, and that's the bottom one. And that's the one, if you're in there for 3 years, then things start to happen. If you're a public school, you need to do interventions. There's a whole prescriptive list of things that you need to do. If you're a charter school, the authorizer needs to get involved to say, hey, you know, you're not meeting the expectations to the contract of what you said. And the same thing is true with the voucher schools. Then after 3 years, so in essence, and it takes 3 years to start this process because we have growth, and you got to start someplace to see if students are growing. But then after 3 years of poor performance, 3 years of still poor performance with interventions, then the hammer comes down. And for a charter school, you lose your charter. You can't be in existence anymore. If you're a choice school, you can no longer accept boys and girls through the choice program. And if you're a public school, then serious interventions have to take place. If you're a school, not a district, but a school, or the charter school, you have to be a charter school, or the school has to close down and reconstitute and open up. The thing is, with the public schools, you know, we have to have them. The law says that boys and girls have to go to school, and the state has to provide a place for them to go. So we just can't say, well, you can't be a school anymore. You have to be a school, and we have to make changes so that boys and girls get a good education there.
Well, in a few minutes, we will be talking with Jim Bender, the president of School Choice Wisconsin, who says that this bill, for one thing, puts too much power in the hands of the Department of Public Instruction. What's your reaction to that?
Well, the thing is, we have two parts in the bill, which I think hopefully, and I work closely with Jim. Jim was involved in all this legislation and negotiation for months and months and months. But one of the things that's in there is it says that DPI has to treat schools the same. So you can't have, you know, one rule for the privates, one for the charters, and one for the public. Well, you know, you could say, well, okay, you're treating them the same, but what you're doing is you're making the rules benefit the public schools. One of the things we have in here is that the Audit Bureau every year has to look at report cards to make sure that that doesn't happen. And we worked with the Department of Public Instruction and said, you know, there's been some issues around the country where things have not gone quite right. So we would like the Audit Bureau to come in and look at and make sure that your report card does not advantage one type of school over the other, and that's in the bill.
I wanted to ask you about another related issue. It's not on your legislation, but in the news on Friday, we saw a report that two-thirds of the students who applied for the statewide voucher program already attend a private school. So your reaction to that, that most of the students who are applying for the voucher schools already attend a private school?
Well, that's what we kind of thought, some of us that were working on that piece of the governor's budget, would happen. You know, the reason that it was put forth is that there's a bunch of students that want to get out of the public schools, that are in schools that are not achieving, and they needed a way to get to the private schools through the vouchers. I was very concerned that once we opened this door, that wasn't the case, and that what we would wind up doing is providing an entitlement check to kids who are already in the private schools, and that's pretty much what happened. And so what concerns me, and I mean, everybody should have a choice. We have all kinds of choices. We have charter schools. We have open enrollment. We have all kinds of things in education where kids can go to different schools that meet their needs. But one of the things that concerns me is when you start this program and expand it statewide, because I really believe what happens in Milwaukee is a whole lot different than what is going on out in the rest of the state. It becomes a big entitlement program, and there's about 100,000 boys and girls who go to private schools in the state. And if we wind up paying for their tuition, you're talking about $700-900 million a year that we have never spent before and that we're going to have to, and I don't know where that money's coming from. And there'll be no savings because those kids don't go to the public schools. They never have, and we're going to have to pay for them. So that's just a concern. You know, to me, it's a fiscal concern. It's like, okay, if we're going to do this, then guys stand up and tell me where the money's coming from. But, you know, everybody says, well, we just, you know, it's a few. But I've been around Madison a long time, and I know that a program that starts little gets big pretty fast.
But on the other hand, public school supporters who thought this was going to drain money away from the public schools, at least this first year, aren't going to have to worry too much about that?
Well, it it's all paid for with GPR funds. So what, you know, it could happen. It doesn't happen. It's not this session, but what really is going on is we are, and we're doing a couple of different things. We're paying for the public school system. We're paying for the Choice Boys and Girls. And then on top of that, we have the private school tuition tax deduction. So we are now paying, I shouldn't say we're paying, because it's costing GPR mm-hmm. money to fund a couple different types of schools. I'm concerned we can't hardly afford the public schools. Now we're going to, you know, subsidize the private schools, which I believe everybody has a right to go to. But there's only so many dollars out there, and I think that we're going to stretch them pretty tight over the next number of years, or wind up having to raise taxes, which I don't think anybody wants to do.
Jerry in Glendale has a question. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call. Senator, first, thank you so much for your bill holding the private schools accountable to the same standards as public schools. A question that I have, my understanding is that currently voucher schools are not held accountable to the same hiring standards. Teachers in voucher schools do not have to be licensed. And I'm wondering if your bill addresses that disparity. Thank you.
No, it doesn't. That's a great question. What we're looking at is outcomes. You know, the days of inputs, you know, and saying, okay, if you have these certain inputs, this is the results you're going to get, are long gone. We're looking at saying, okay, what are the outcomes that you are having as the way that you educate boys and girls? And really, the reason that we're doing this bill, the real reason, is to improve schools, not to shut them down, not to kick them out of programs, but saying, you know what? If you don't measure and if you don't have good measurement, you don't know where you are and how you can prove it. It's sort of like running a race with without a stopwatch. And you run it today or you swim or whatever you do. The goal is to say, okay, here's what we did today. Let's see if we can do better at the next race or the next swim meet or whatever. That's what this is all about, is improving the educational outcomes for our boys and girls in the state, no matter where they go to school.
Peter on Facebook says an essential component to making choice schools an improvement is to make sure that the bad ones go out of business. You say your intent isn't to close schools, but schools would be closed if they did not meet these standards.
Correct. I mean, yeah, that's what will happen. If you, after 6 years, you're still in the bottom category, you're gone. That is a easy way to improve the average, but there's a lot of schools out there that maybe they're in the second to the lowest category. We want them to get into the middle one and the next one and improve, and that's what this is really all about. We just don't have a category where it's pass-fail. You're either doing a bad job or you're doing a good job. We, through this legislation, say here's one of the five categories you're in. The goal is to improve all the time.
And finally, what's the next step for this legislation?
Well, right now, of course, we're out there looking for co-sponsorship. Then the goal is in the first part of September to have a hearing. Representative Castell and his staff worked equally as hard, if not harder, probably on this bill with myself and my staff. And moving it through the committee process, hopefully we can get it to the floor this fall, and the governor can sign it before the session ends next spring.
Senator Olson, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Joy. Have a good day.
You too. Luther Olson, Republican State Senator from Ripon and Chair of the Senate Education Committee, author of this school accountability bill. We'll get reaction from the president of School Choice Wisconsin, Jim Bender, coming up in just a moment. And in this segment of our State Capitol Report, we'll talk with a guest who is critical of this school accountability bill. He is Jim Bender, president of School Choice Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is wrong with Luther Olson's bill here that would put new standards on public schools, charter schools, and voucher schools?
Well, thanks for having me on. And, you know, I think the place to start for me is to say that, you know, the status quo with the way that they're disseminating information about, you know, academia here in the state is inadequate. We do not support putting out test scores, snapshots, 1 year, bits of data at a time. So a more comprehensive view of what's going on in the school that can empower parents and inform parents, that's something we fully support. Adding value-added growth and adding some of the other components to the report card is something that we should absolutely do. I think for all sectors of education, that's important. There are a number of troubling spots for us. We've had really three major points we've made this entire discussion. One, we've got to have good data going into the program. Two, we've got to have specificity in statute. And three, we've got to have equitable treatment on the back end. So we've got issues that are systemic in nature in dealing with identification of students with special needs. That's a big failure here in the state of Wisconsin, both from a funding aspect and from the way that LEAs work, what I would include to be a bit of a conflict of interest with private schools, especially in Milwaukee. So we know that there's an issue with data that's going into the report card. And as for the provision in the bill that deals with the Legislative Audit Bureau reviewing DPI, basically keeping an eye on DPI, we would opt for actually putting a lot of the calculations and putting other parts of the report card into statute, because at this point there is no level of trust with DPI. And I say that not just from somebody that's from the voucher schools. When you look at a bill that has a very basic philosophy, it's we're going to measure all schools using the same measuring stick, even though they're funded differently, they work completely differently. We're going to use a single measuring stick. And then if something goes wrong or you're not performing, DPI comes in with new powers. Well, I've had a lot of conversations around the state with both public school folks, charter folks, and especially private school folks. I have never heard anybody say the solution to our academic problems is injecting DPI more strongly into our school. I've never heard that anywhere. We think the opposite should be true. If a school is struggling, give it freedom from DPI. Let the local folks make decisions on how best to improve their schools. So there's a number of different things with the bill. It takes a couple steps forward, but then it takes a couple steps back.
Well, what sorts of benchmarks or standards do you think would be appropriate, especially for the schools accepting vouchers?
Well, it's a report card, so it's not just for our schools. But the way the bill is drafted right now, when you have, you know, the different areas they're talking about, achievement and growth and closing the gaps, those are all weighted. Those all have percentage. So your achievement scores are going to be, say, whatever the number is, 25% of the overall score is determined by that. Well, none of that is set in statute. That's all determined internally by the Department of Public Instruction. There's a 100-page technical document that works over the calculations for the report card. First off, that's ridiculous to have 100 pages of calculations to show what a school report card is. Nobody would be able to figure that out on their own. It would be left all internally up to DPI. And one key point here, the development of the report card was initially based, at least we were told, on the No Child Left Behind waiver. And so DPI had to work with the Federal Department of Ed to create the system and the original report card that they're doing now. We've been granted that waiver. Now we're hearing that potentially DPI is going to be pulling that report card out of the No Child Left Behind waiver so that the report card exists as a standalone just in state government that has some benefits and some negatives. For us, we need to see, okay, if you're going to compute a report card, what's in it? How are you going to calculate these scores? That should be open and transparent, not tucked inside a 100-page technical document that it takes the Legislative Audit Bureau an annual review just to check to make sure that DPI isn't pulling a fast one. It should be much more simple, much more complete, and much more transparent. It's not about what you're measuring or how you're doing it. It's that everybody can see the process by which schools are being measured.
Are you at all confident or hopeful that the areas that you take issue with this legislation can be worked out to your liking?
We'll see. I mean, there's certainly been some reaction to the bill. It's really not been out in public for very long. And so we are certainly hearing from a lot of members of both education committees that there are some concerns about the way that the process moves. I mean, there's no big secret. There is not a great deal of trust inside the Capitol with the Department of Public Instruction and the way that they've done things in the past. So I think in areas where the bill leaves it up internally to DPI, I think that there's a lot of room for improvement there. However, I just need to say, overall, we've got a bill here that doesn't change a whole lot of law for public schools, changes a little bit of law for charter and choice schools. But at the end of the day, the only thing it accomplishes is potentially closing schools or kicking schools out. The goal here, if we're trying to improve education, we need to take a student from a low-performing seat and move them into a high-performing seat. Now, whether that's moving them to a different school or dramatically changing the school that they're in, this bill doesn't really do anything for opening up new high-quality seats around the state. It deals a lot within the status quo. We would certainly like to see an area whereby the highest-performing choice, charter, and public schools in Milwaukee and other areas of the state are given much more freedom to expand, to grow, to share practices, and put financial incentives behind those. Because at the end of the day, our goal should be moving kids from low-performing seats to a high-performing seat. And that doesn't matter if it's in a choice school or a charter school or a public school.
In our final minute, Jim Bender, I want to be able to get a reaction to the report that most of the students who applied for the voucher school program already attend private schools.
Well, that was certainly going to happen in the first year. You didn't know until July 26th that the school would be able to accept applications this year. And the entire open enrollment process was from August 1 through August 9. So you had, clearly, students that are already in the program are the easiest ones to register because they're right there. You know, you can communicate with them. For the other schools to communicate with those students that were already registered in public schools, the demand in the first year is certainly going to be lower. Everything from this point forward, you're taking a process that normally takes 7 months, and you put it into 2 weeks. So the vast majority of people out there, and parents, I would argue, don't even know the program exists yet. So to have more than 500 parents to exceed the cap just with public school kids going across, I don't think that shows that there's a disparity. Because let's face it, we've set a marker.
I got to jump in. I thought we were going to be able to finish off. Jim Bender, president of School Choice Wisconsin.